The shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Sax Roma. £1,000, I will lead you to the present hiding place of Fu Manchu. Such was the proposal offered Nayland Smith by Alfred Slade, formerly a lieutenant of New York's police force. But when Smith and Dr. Petrie call on Mr. Slade, they overhear him making a similar proposal regarding Nayland Smith to Karame, who is again in the service of Fu Manchu. Shortly after Karame leaves Slade's house, he utters a horrified cry for help. We find Nayland Smith and Dr. Petrie hurrying from the open window through which they've overheard Slade's conversation with Karame to the front door.
This time, Petrie, I know we're too late, but I had no idea the blow would fall on Slade so suddenly. Inside, quick. Hurry, Petrie. Do what you
I
can.
I warned him. I warned him.
Oh, there's nothing to be done, Nayland.
Dead? Already?
Lightning couldn't have done the work quicker. Can I turn him over?
Yes. Of course.
I warned him. I warned him.
Stop that chattering. Here, get up.
Come on now. Pull yourself together, Burke.
Yes, sir.
Now, Burke, what happened here?
I was 10 yards from him when it happened.
You were the only witness. You ought to be able to help us. You say you warned him of what?
I warned him. I told him it would come to this.
That what would?
Those Orientals. His dealings with those Orientals.
Well, what sort of dealings? Who were they?
Singapore Charlie and the others.
Singapore Charlie?
Yeah. He met Charlie at an East End gambling house. He used a norm in San Francisco.
Is that the same Singapore Charlie who ran a place over Ratcliffe Way?
Yes, sir. He was the
but
same.
But that place was raided and burnt to the ground.
Singapore Charlie got out of that fire and slipped through the police lines.
He was one of the gang?
He belonged to a gang we used to call in New York the Seven.
Oh, the Seven, eh? Significant, Petrie. I always suspected the Seven and Fu Manchu had a common purpose. Go on, Bert.
Well, the lieutenant was...
Lieutenant? Oh, lieutenant. Lieutenant. Oh, yes, Pedley or Slade used to be a police lieutenant in New York. Go on.
Well, Slade had something on the Singapore Charlie, and when we first met him, he figured he could pull off the biggest deal of his life.
By capturing Dr. Fu Manchu, eh?
Yeah. But you beat him to it with that big raid and broke up the gang. A couple of months ago, he met Charlie again in the East End clip joint. Charlie introduced him to a dame, an Egyptian or something.
Oh, yes. Go on. I know her.
Well, he saw her a good many times. And she came here once or twice. She made out that she and Charlie were ready to put the finger on the big shot of the Oriental gang.
For a prize, of course.
Oh, yeah. Slade wasn't going to step into some other guy's racket without he got plenty of jack for her.
Hmm. And now, what took place tonight?
He had a date with this dame here. And...
Yes, I know all that. But what happened after the telephone call from Karame?
Well, he told me to stick around till he came back. He figured on going out. I was getting a little shut-eye in the next room when the phone woke me up.
Cat, what a language. Well, and then?
Well, Slade went to get his hat from the rack.
Yes.
But he never got it off the hook. Just as he reached for it, he let out a yell and whirled, just like someone had jumped him from behind.
There was no one else in the hall?
Just us two. I was over there outside the dining room by the stairs. He looked behind him as if he expected to see someone. And he stood there yelling, and before I could get to him, he fell.
I see. And is that all you know, Burke?
That's all, so help me. And that's all I saw.
Hmm. What killed him, Petrie?
Well, apparently a minute wound on the left wrist. You see this small inflamed spot?
Oh, yeah, it's beginning to puff up. By Jove. You know what it is?
Well, it's a bite of some kind. It's too late to use a ligature. Death was practically instantaneous.
Hmm. Oh, Burke, you were a member of the New York force.
Yes, detective second class. I quit when Slade did and took this job with him.
Oh, I see. Well, now listen. I don't want that door open to anyone. Understand? No one, no matter who it is.
What is it, Smith? What's wrong?
Stand right there by the study door, Weymouth. You, Burke, stay where you are. Don't move, Petrie. It may still be here in the hallway.
What are you looking for?
The thing that killed Slade. A snake of some sort. It's deadly, Weymouth. Probably not very large. So be careful how you move around. We've got to search this place from roof to cellar. Failure. Not a thing to be found in the entire place. But it must be here somewhere.
Well, isn't it possible that it got out when we came in last night, Nayland?
Oh, yes, there is that possibility. In case it did, Weymouth, I want that garden gone over with a fine-tooth comb. Every inch of it. Tell your men to work with sticks, to keep their hands off the ground and be extremely careful in examining the underbrush.
Right. See to it, Carter.
Righto, sir.
And now, Weymouth, how about Caramay? You followed her when she left this place last night?
I did, but she was too clever for me. I lost her. But the track, as far as I could follow, leads to the old spot. I'm pretty sure Fu Manchu's den is somewhere near that old place of Shenyan, Singapore Charlie.
We'll look into that presently. From Burke, Slade's assistant, I learned that Singapore Charlie is mixed up in this somehow.
How was it done, Smith? How was Slade killed?
Clumsily for Fu Manchu. A snake was introduced into the house by some means.
Very possibly by Caramay.
My thought is that it was concealed about his clothing. When he fell, it slid out of the house as we came in.
Slade must be moved. Otherwise, we can leave the place untouched. We'll clear out the servants and lock the house up.
Yes, I've already instructed Burke to that effect. Nothing has been disturbed. All the papers and books and things you can examine at your leisure. Well, Petrie and I can do no more here. If you want us, we'll be at home.
Right.
Come along, Petrie. Yes, Petrie, for Fu Manchu, this crime was clumsy and unfinished. Either Fu Manchu is losing his old cunning or he was interrupted.
Interrupted?
Yes. Take the facts, old chap. Is it characteristic of Fu Manchu to kill by the direct agency of a snake and implicate one of his own servants in the way he's done?
But there was no snake found.
Caramay introduced one into that house in some way. Or have you some other explanation?
Well, certainly Caramay visited him last night, but you must be perfectly aware that even had she been arrested, no jury could convict her.
As a counsel for the defense, you constantly rectify my errors of prejudice. Yet I'm convinced that our presence at Slade's house last night prevented the doctor from finishing off his little matter as he'd planned it.
Then what gives you that idea?
Weymouth's call from the yard a few minutes ago. The constable on duty at Slade's house reports that someone, less than an hour after Weymouth and his men left, tried to break in.
Eh? They tried to break in?
Yes. Oh. So you're interested, eh? I thought the circumstance rather illuminating, too.
Well, did the constable see him?
No, he only heard him. It was someone who tried to get in by the bathroom window. The servants, you know, are all out of the place. The bathroom may be reached fairly easily by an agile climber.
The attempt succeeded?
No. The constable interrupted the fellow, but failed to make a capture or even catch a glimpse of him.
I see. What do you propose to do? You have something in mind, of course.
Yes, I have. Tonight, I'm going to conceal myself in Slade's house and stay there until that attempt is repeated.
I shall, of course, go with you, Nathan. It's quite obvious, then, that we overlooked something which implicates the murderer.
In short, Petrie, either by accident, by reason of our vigilance, or by the clumsiness of his plans, Dr. Fu Manchu for once has left a clue. We shall go there tonight. We'll watch from the study, Petrie. It's only a step from here to the hallway, and I'm convinced that out there in that hall is the thing our man will come for.
But what can it be? There isn't a thing out there or in the house that points to Fu Manchu.
It must be something we've overlooked. Something all of us have missed.
You ever noticed, Nayland, that Fu Manchu's agents usually confine their work to the period between 2 and 4 in the morning?
Yes. And it's not merely coincidence, Petrie. Presumably, that's the time when sleep is most profound. One doesn't waken so easily between those hours.
But in this instance, it doesn't apply. Fu Manchu must know that this house is unoccupied. There's no one to waken.
Ah, but there are neighbors, old chap. The doctor's agents don't wish to be seen, much less heard. I think, however, that... Shh. Listen. The skylight. He's using the skylight in the roof. Come on. We'll wait for him by the doorway. Here. On this side of the door. I'll take the other side. He's on the stairs. Bare feet or rubber-soled shoes. Watch. When he gets down, I'll give the word. Now, Petrie! Lights, Petrie, lights! Near the door! Quick! Get his stick, Petrie!
I've got it!
Quick! Tap him over the head!
Why, Joe, man. This fellow, not the usual decoy.
No, a black, a Moor. That stick, give it to me. Oh, not Aaron's rod, Petrie. The rod of Moses. Slade's cane.
But, by Jove, you're right. Then that stick over there on the rack, a duplicate.
Just a minute. Examine that other, but don't touch it.
All right, surely there can't be too light. Why, great heavens, Nathan.
You see? In every particular, it corresponds with the one in your hand. Excepting this. Up to the snake's head, it's an accurate copy. But the head in that one in the rack is alive.
Shadow of Fu Manchu.